The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, back from Mompox. Remember, episode 218, we were in Mompox recording with Jay Speller from Minka, who was down visiting. I think it's been 6 years since I last saw him, but good to know that his little Casa Loma is expanded and grown up there in the Sierra Nevada. A capacity for 60 beds. When I went there, it was 10. So incredible how things change in Colombia. But yes, it's that time of the week. This is episode 219. All sorts of things going on in Colombia, as always. Hope you saw the link of me talking on Telesur about the ELN and the FARC guerrillas recently. As always, trying to get out there and out and about. And, well, yes, later on this year, the Brat Guidebook to Colombia, which I have authored, will be out. So please check that out. That's around September. But here, episode 219, being recorded in my back garden here in Bogota. No noise from traffic, just birds. Maybe a little bit of construction. There's always construction. It's Bogota. But I have very special guest, Jose Miguel Jaramillo, on the show, who was put in contact with me, and we've been conversing. And basically, he's on the show because we're following in the sort of... I like this type of show because it's... Some of you will remember episode 171 with Juan Pablo Restrepo about sort of socially inclusive and sort of designs for peace and a workshop that had ELN and FARC guerrillas and I think paramilitaries working. That was with Juan Pablo. Well, Jose Miguel Jaramillo has his own companies, and indeed they're doing similar things for social inclusion, reintegration. It's a low level, but what's the importance is it's a start. So welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you very much, Richard, for having us here. It's a pleasure to share our experience.
Absolutely.
With all your listeners.
Well, now let's just ask quickly what kind of a boss you are, because you've brought your interns with you here for this interview, and they've had to sit elsewhere and they're working away. Are you a tough boss?
No, I'm not a tough boss. I wouldn't call myself a boss. I would call myself as a leader, as a goal getter. Okay. And we have to submit something and we have a deadline, everybody has to commit on.
Exactly.
With
all
task.
All hands on deck. If you've got something, so you've got a deadline coming up then.
Yeah, we have to present some papers and some like a lookbook and stuff. Uh-huh. For like hope to export our Clark and Rose bags.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Natalia and Sara are our two interns who have been working with us for like a couple of weeks. And they are doing amazing work.
Excellent. That's nice to tell. Now they can listen to this and say, my boss appreciates me. Yeah. There you go. That's why we had it. But no, let's talk about it. You've got two companies. The first we'll talk about is Urban Link. So that's the website. It's www.urbanlink.co. What is Urban Link? I believe it's all over the world, but you are the spearhead here in Colombia.
Yeah, I mean, Urban Link, we started with my co-founder, Fabio Acero. And basically, is a result of Clark and Rhodes' challenges.
Uh-huh.
As a young entrepreneurs, we have the challenge to show our product and services. Basically, I was looking to start a model in which I can have low risk, low cost, but high impact. So I started looking out, and basically is the Airbnb for commercial spaces.
Nice.
So you can rent out like art gallery, kitchen for hours, and do like a pizza or like sushi class. In a nice and different location.
So I said, I'm doing an Ahiako course with foreigners, but I want to do it somewhere special, like an art gallery. This is where I would go to, the Urban Link.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, cool.
Also, we leverage from three main concepts. The sharing economy, which involves Zipcar, Carby, Airbnb, and Uber. Mm. The other one is pop-up experience, not only pop-up stores, but experience as well.
Yeah.
As the pizza school in an art gallery. And you have also the assets optimization for, like, let's say, storefronts, food trucks, art galleries, and different, like, assets that you may have. And people may be interested in renting out for hours, days, weeks, and months.
That's really cool. I mean, it's not like a, you know, rent by the hour motel. It's a properly you know, established. Okay, and so this is all over the world. And who have you found to be your primary clients? I mean, when did you start Urban Link?
We started Urban Link as a project 1 year ago.
Okay,
but we launched it. We went live on October the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And basically we have been working with like different type of like users, mainly with like big brands, try to make different experiences for their customers. But yeah, we start also working with entrepreneurs and startups. With Urban Link, we have two main goals.
Yeah.
First of all, like make the economy more dynamic. Like if you have empty storefront for, let's say, 6 months, you can have this solution, non-exclusive, but you have this solution and you can, like, it will be perfect for a brand to show up for just like 1 week or even like 2 months to educate, use it as a learning lab for the users and customers. And the other one is to bring and give the solution to like startups like Clark & Rose to show up their products in any location. Let's say if I want to like show up my products in, I don't know, December, like for Christmas in New York, Paris and London, I can have an amazing possibility for just like 2 weeks to like show up my products in the locations that are like my target clients.
I like this very much. I mean, it means you don't have to put that huge down payment on a Fifth Avenue store. Just you can have a good space, or someone with an empty shop front who needs it. Yeah. And I imagine your prices are competitive then.
Yeah, it's competitive because like we have access to amazing like commercial spaces. Let's say the Mambo, the Museum of Modern Art, you can rent it for like hours for you have an amazing like evening or like dinner with your clients. You can do it, you know. It's bring something completely different that is been going on around the world, but we want to bring it to Colombia and to different aspects of the economy.
Would you suggest that this kind of market is kind of an orange economy, like everyone's talking about now, or is it a little bit different?
It's also part of the creative economy, the orange economy, but it's more like broad, because it's not only with the creative stuff, but with traditional like industries that they have to put together different concepts to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was amazing when I was walking on Fifth Avenue, as you were mentioning, and I saw a little like billboard on a window who was saying "window for rent," you know. And this is one amazing spec that we have, that is a store within store. Let's say you have a cafe and you have your walls and you want to put up like different like artists or like photos of like an amazing photographer, and both like sites are leveraging from that aspect. Mm-hmm. The cafe, because it's renting out the wall for, let's say, $5 a week or 50 or whatever price you want to put in. But also the artist, because it will have traffic from the natural cafe.
It's incredible. And I can really see this taking off, obviously, or being successful in places that are, you know, open to this. Let's say London's East End, you know, very fashionable, the Hoxton, Shoreditch, and of course, New York, of course, hub for these type of places, Seattle, San Francisco. But how's it doing here in Colombia?
Here, I mean, the main aspect that we are facing, and the people say is the currency for sharing economy is trust.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the big part.
Yeah.
And as we have different issues, like socially, we have to start trusting each other. And because if you put a contract, nobody will sue you for 12 months or something like that. It will take a lot of time, a lot of money to like resolve the situation, but it's basically trust on the platform, trust on our allies, our users, and our strategic partners.
Is trust something that Colombians have amongst themselves, would you say, as a Colombian?
I think we are getting more.
Yeah.
We still have to work on that aspect, but we have an amazing strategic partner, which is Wisura. We offer insurance for our users and our allies if they have to put up a TV or something like that. The insurance will cover any damage, as well as for any installation or something with the space, and something is get damaged, a door or a window, they also can cover that, you know.
Well, I like this very much, and I think I would say, and I don't want to jump out there, that, you know, previously there has been a culture of distrust, but I think it is changing, like you say. And it takes businesses like yours, and of course this Urban Link, to surpass that. And that brings me quite nicely to the real crux of why we're here, is because this is something I just find it so important, personally, for Colombia, is this whole issue of reconciliation in this period that we are going through right now, in a very, very, let's say, conflicting year with presidential elections coming up. Let's not dwell too much on those. I'm going to have other people on talking about that. But you have this company called Clark & Rose. There's a website, www.clarkandrose.co. And you make leather bags, leather apparel, things like that. And you employ, this is why you employ former guerrillas and people from, let's say, more, less, very, very underprivileged backgrounds. It's about social inclusion. This is a trust thing. This is very key, isn't it? I mean, because a lot of people say, oh, once a guerrilla, always a guerrilla. Once a bandit, always a bandit. Once a ladrón, always a ladrón. I mean, you've taken this. When did you? Well, let's start with when did you start Clark & Rose?
We started Clark & Rose in 2016.
Okay.
October the 3rd.
Mm.
We went live.
Yeah.
And basically here in Colombia, and I found it like in different places, everybody complains about the situation.
Yes.
But not many people do things. You know?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So if you're waiting for somebody else, politics or big corporations, to solve the issues, you can say keep waiting, you know. But here you have to play an active role as a young entrepreneur. I think we have an amazing and important role here,
mm-hmm.
because we have been studying abroad, and we have this like capacity to make things differently, you know.
Yeah.
As we have seen in different situations and the history. But here, the important thing is to play an active role towards a better solution,
sure.
a better society. I'm not talking just about Colombia.
Yeah.
You have issues in the United States,
everywhere.
In British, in England,
everywhere.
You know.
Yeah.
You have different situations that if you don't play an active role, nobody else will do it.
Uh-huh.
And if you keep waiting for somebody else to solve it, they will solve their way, nor the way that you think is the best for the society that you are living in.
I think it's true. And I mean, you're a young guy, and you're part of what I call, I'm always referring to this new generation that's far more altruistic. You recall, perhaps through stories from your parents, your uncles, your grandparents, the really bad years of Colombia's conflict. But really, you've not grown up in the worst of it. And you've been abroad, you've studied abroad, and you've come back bringing that know-how and that desire to make a better place in Colombia. And this is why, at the end of days, you know, I end up giving a lot of lectures or speeches to tour groups or to academics. And I don't paint a very positive picture because I have to put the past into it. You've got to put a lot of Colombia's past to explain the present and hopefully the future. And people say, you're painting a very bleak future, but at the same time say, no, but I'm very bullish on Colombia because this young entrepreneurial spirit coming through in this next generation and who want to help, and it's shown by how many political scientists this country churns out who are all working in the UN, reintegration, there's something to do with the peace dialogues, the next peace dialogues, the restitution of lands and everything else. It shows there's a desire. I think the government and the NGOs are probably the number one employer now in Colombia, but it shows that you know together you can be part of the solution, and that's why I'm bullish on Colombia. That's why I talk about this all the time. We're going to take a short break and come back with Jose Miguel Jaramillo, who is his two companies here in Colombia, urbanlink.co, that's the website, urbanlink, for shared spaces, for whatever you need, really. I mean, artists, cooking, what have you, shops. And of course, his enterprise, Clark and Rose. And we'll talk more about Clark and Rose in the second segment of this show. Very exciting to be here talking about this. This is episode 219 of Colombia Calling. And once again, my apologies for my guard dog, Monty the Weimarana. Most of you will know him. He does get very worked up when a new person comes in the house. But don't go away. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in my garden in Bogota, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And you'll know from the first segment of this show that we've been talking to Jose Miguel Jaramillo, who's, I guess, the director, founder, big cheese of Clark and Rose, and of course, Urban Link. We're here in Colombia. But Clark and Rose is what we want to talk about now. It's your company. You started in 2016. Now, I know that the name comes from, Lewis and Clark, the great pioneers across the United States, Perseverance, and Rose. I guess that's from the center of the compass, Rose. So you've got two very vibrant images there that people can relate to. And I'm just going to say a shout out because I have been very nicely gifted a little something from Clark and Rose, from Jose Miguel. And I say thank you for that. I've got a small wallet, which is very nicely made and put together. I can see the stitching is incredibly well done. The leather is good quality. So first of all, thank you for that. And for those of you out there listening, check out the website clarkandrose.co. There are nice things on there. I mean, I'm not a person who would use a man bag or something like that, but looking at what you have on the website, I wouldn't be averse to it. This is important. These things are important. You know, it's all about breaking stereotypes and getting the information out there. Now, what I understand is that you call what you're doing low fashion. Slow fashion is better. Yeah, slow fashion. So you source the leather from somewhere around Medellin, I guess?
No, like we start working with, we have been very, as we don't produce like as many bags as we wanted, we have troubles like getting the proportion of the leathers that we require. Mm-hmm. But we start working with a manufacturing like leather stuff that is based in San Gil.
Okay, up in Santander.
And the good thing about them is that all the colors for the leather are natural.
Okay, so this green I've got here is a natural color.
Yeah, they use it with like different, like, I don't know, like natural materials, natural like things that are coming from India.
Yeah.
But they get the same color as the like chemical or like damaging stuff. Of course it's leather, it's natural, but yeah, we're trying to be as sustainable as we can.
Of course. It's difficult. It's difficult while it's not mainstream, and you're producing on a small level, so you know costs are higher and so on. San Gil, Santander, the capital of adventure sports in Colombia, also known for having the most envious people in Colombia. I know this because my wife's from Santander. They're San Gileños. Oh, you know, terrible. So, have you had any trouble sourcing anything?
No, we haven't had any trouble.
Perfect.
It was like business as usual.
Business as usual. Okay, and so you market online, and I'm sure you sell through Urban Link when you get spaces and so on and so forth. But you have a small team, around 7 people, and they come from low income families, people who are very poorly off. And indeed, what I find most interesting is that you've been almost kind of like a pioneer in starting to employ people from adverse backgrounds. You have people from the FARC, people from the ELN. On your website, there's a photo of a lady called Luz Elena who said, you know, she left the guerrilla about 5 years ago. I mean, people are open to saying that. People will declare, you know, I was once a guerrilla. Thank you for this job.
Basically, we started working with Luz Elena in Medellin. She lives in Comuna 13, which is known as one of the most dangerous places in Medellin.
Yes.
But I asked her, like, for me, that's one of the main challenges, like talking about like their past with them. But they are very open once you establish a relationship and they trust you.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to trust someone like different, but it's a process, you know.
Yes.
And we have to believe that building the right process, we can build a better like society.
And of course, being honest, paying a decent wage, yeah, and coming back, repeat business, that earns the trust.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, was interesting because I couldn't find someone who can manufacture the bags. But yeah, I said to myself, I'm not going to stop doing this because I know I don't find the right fit right now.
Yeah.
So I started working with Luz Elena,
yeah,
doing the packaging for the bags.
Yeah.
And I went to a downtown, bought the materials, and brought it to her, mm-hmm, using Metro and Metro Cable, yeah, which is always nice. Yeah.
She took the cable car up into her barrio in Comuna 13.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a different experience, yeah, but if you want to be part of something, you have to take some, like, I don't know, put some effort towards.
Yeah, I'm not saying take a risk, but just do it. Go ahead and do it.
Make things happen, yeah, you know.
I like this, because so you actually went downtown into, so let's say, central Medellin, which is, again, is chaotic, got your leather, went up onto the metro, as the Medellin's famed metro, what do you call it, tube, railway, whatever we call it in England. And then you went then on the cable car. So basically you did a whole tour of Medellin's urban renovation. And you were part of it because you're taking the leather up there to do
this. I was taking all the materials. Yeah. And
did you then go back down via the escalator?
No, it was on another side.
Okay, all right.
But and I think the main message that Clark and Rose team wants to send to our society is, like, of course we don't ask people to stop using like traditional brands. I use them myself.
Yeah.
But definitely what we're trying to do is, like, of course we don't have the capacity to employ like 10,000 people. One day we will, but definitely what we're trying to do is like change people's mentality, and it's like, okay, start buying and including in your daily life, mm-hmm, some products and like apparel that you can, that is being and have an interesting background, and is building a better society, you know.
Do you not feel, now this is a tough question for you here, you can choose not to answer it.
Okay.
Do you not feel, I mean, this is a Colombian product, but you're using Clark and Rose and stuff. I mean, clearly that's to appeal to a more international market and get out there. But could you use a Colombian name for your product?
Yeah, we're trying to use it as like different like products, you know. Within a brand, you have different like segments, products. And we will definitely do it, you know.
Yeah.
We want to start launching campaigns, uh-huh, that are like more Colombian base, but definitely what we're trying to do as we start the company is we want an international aspect, because as I was mentioning earlier, is the social inclusion is not just an issue that occurs in Colombia. It's something that is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
So one day we hope that we can also support and be part of a solution in different societies. That's why Clark & Rose is a good fit for
so for good. The brand. It's a good one. Anyway, I put you in the same thing as Crepes and Waffles. You know, they've always got a line outside, so Clark & Rose can have a line too. Now, one other thing about this, I mean, these products that you create are very nice, and they're well priced. I mean, you're looking on the website; they're well priced. So you ship all over the world.
Yeah, we start with a huge alliance with with a international shipping company.
Yes.
So we can send you everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
That's it. And so now let's talk more about this. How do you get in contact with reintegrated or demobilized guerrillas to employ them? How is this done? Because I can think of a few companies out there who would like to do this. And I think in the future, I mean, I don't think we need to be too closed about this. I'm sure the government will start to give benefits, like say tax benefits or somehow, if you start reincorporating some of these, let's say it's lost generation, into the formal economy. How do you go about finding people for this?
I mean, I know Pablo Restrepo because we went to school together. And he was very supportive at the very beginning, and he was right about like the best way to start is with contacting the ACR.
Yeah.
Right now, ARN.
It changes.
Yeah, they changed the name.
It'll change again in a few months' time.
Maybe. Yeah.
with the new government.
I see that coming. But the thing is, I went there, I had a nice meeting, and I told him, I was very honest.
Yeah.
The key here is be honest.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not here like looking for 10,000 former rebels. I'm just looking for this type of person that is willing to make some effort and work together with a unexperienced guy in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
And we found Luz Helena.
Yeah.
And like that, I started working with her. Yeah. You know, after that, I started working also here with Jaime and Jenny.
Yeah.
And the thing is, right now I'm a member of ARN, like consultative like board. We have a meeting every like 3 months to as an external like outside company who works in the same like context.
Yeah,
it's always good to like understand the situation within the main agency, but also how we see things and how we can make things happen, you know. And right now we are working with Jaime and Jenny.
Yeah.
It's a process, of course, to understand the work that they've done, the capacity, and we have been good, like having like amazing response with them. They are very serious. They do an amazing work. And they're very nice people.
But do you mean you were offering them an opportunity that wasn't available to them as they were growing up, and the reason for which they probably joined whichever groups they were part of? I mean, this is the truth.
And I think the opportunity is that Clark & Rose, Jaime and Jenny, Luz Helena, we are giving it to a society, you know, more than Clark & Rose is giving it to them, is us giving it to a society that, as an example of like growth, prosperity, and if we work together, is the only way that we can really achieve something amazing.
Yeah. So Jaime was in the ELN. His partner, Lady, who also works, he was in the FARC. That's got to make for some interesting dinner table conversations, because they have fundamental differences, but to the same end, sort of thing. And do they talk to you about politics and what's going on?
First of all, I don't talk about politics at all. Second of all, I don't ask them. And most importantly, I don't judge them about their background. Jaime has been more open with me about his like past.
He's from the south, right?
He's from Nariño.
Okay.
And he is tough, you know, like also he understands what he was doing.
Yeah.
But right now he has been through difficult situations. Like I wouldn't say he's the worst one because you have different backgrounds and different possibilities.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a good example of like somebody who understands the past but looks forward to the future as a different like role model for his kids and the society.
Yeah, it's true. But Lady
is also like interesting. She works in fashion, but I'm not that close to Lady. but she's so friendly.
Yeah,
you wouldn't notice that she had a rough time back in the days.
That's it, isn't it? I mean, if you don't have to delve into people's past, and if they're not going, it doesn't matter. You know, if these are people who are prepared to work and prepared to put in, and again, they are respected by their employers, and then respected by the society around them, then there's no issue. But you're taking people who've come from a disrespected standpoint. So, you know, it comes back to that first point, one of the first points you made, that question of trust. Very key. I think it's you know, a lot of people would not trust them. You know, and that stigma that surrounds someone from a different background here. You know, like I get people on the coast, so the Caribbean coast, I don't like Chocoanos. Why don't you like Chocoanos? They talk too much. What does that have to do with anything? I don't like people from that town. What do you mean from that town? They're all thieves. But there are these generalizations that seem to just always ripple through everything. And it's not just here in Colombia, although it's perhaps more marked here in Colombia because of the divisions in society over such a long period of time, really forever. I mean, you know, it's in Colombia. But it's so marked here. Like, oh, you can't employ someone from that barrio. What do you mean I can't employ someone from that barrio? And I think that's what we have to come to terms with. It's so hard. But so therefore, you know, I congratulate you immensely on this. And it seems like, you know, you're going from success to success. But, I mean, you know, you've got to, as we say, slow fashion, kind of like slow cooking, slow fashion. You've got your small factory, I would say, a workshop here in Chapinero, so in a good part of town and everything. But it's interesting to me. I mean, you know, costs must be high because of the low production. You're not going to be tempted away to open your sweatshop in China?
No, definitely not. Because like one thing that I'm trying to change is like we, it's not an industrial revolution.
Yeah.
We have to align incentives. So I'm not their boss, I'm their leader. You know, I present myself and I picture myself as a leader, not as a boss.
Yeah.
So I align incentives. They know if they produce, we all like gain stuff and have results.
Yeah.
But if they don't, I'm not gonna like pay them because like they like incentivize the work they're not doing, you know. So we align incentives. We work together as a team, and we make things happen and get results. Otherwise, if I just keep paying them or doing whatever, like because of the thing, we're not getting results and we're not going anywhere.
But this isn't a charity.
Yeah, it's not a charity.
You're not an NGO or ONG, as they say here. You're not this. You are a business, and a business needs to make money in order to reinvest into its business. It's the basic tenets of business.
Yeah, of course. And as you mentioned, I'm not tempted to move it to China because I think I want to be part of a solution here in my country. And of course, the margin is not as high as we probably been working in China.
Yeah.
But for me, the main goal is not to get rich fast as I can. It's to, of course, make money, have a decent like life, but also be a good example for our generation.
Of course, there's that. And then, you know, I think what you've shown, more than the word trust, which of course is key and the theme and the topic, what you're showing is a real humility. That I think that's one of it. And maybe not something that's overwhelmingly present in a lot of spheres here in Colombia, and certainly not in the upper spheres of the UK or the US, but you're showing humility and, you know, where you can approach people from different backgrounds, different social strata, and say, listen, we're going to work together. I am the leader, I'm not the boss. That is humility. They're saying that this is how we're going to work. There are, will be incentives. We sell more, you earn more, your things get better, can do everything. And that's how things need to change. And I just think that that's, you know, you've got a small company, but there must be so many others similar to this now coming forward, and we wish them all the successes, because it's hard to run a small company. I have my small business in Mompos. It's tough, you know, and especially when you're on the Caribbean coast, everyone expects a commission. Yeah. You're like, a commission for what? You've taken no risk. I've invested the money. The local people are benefiting, but you, these people who take commissions, you know, mean that both ends lose. The you know, the lower end, the provider, the upper end, who's the risk taker. You know, so it's really tough. I mean, there's a whole society that's kind of based around this needing to be paid for doing nothing. Yeah. And I mean, we'll mention it here. It's like here when I've been sitting in my garden, all the issues that I had with my neighbors, now I essentially got a private police force because we had to give a tip to the police for coming out and helping. And you're like, why am I tipping the police? But it's every sector.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing.
But most importantly, the thing is, if we work together to bring up a different way, different solution, as you mentioned it, like, our model is to everybody gets benefit.
Yeah.
You know, our client user gets benefit because we're giving a different possibility, something that they can use, that they can feel that they're part of something different. But also, like Luz Elena, Jaime, Lady, they feel that they're doing something different and not just getting paid. Yeah. You know, I feel that I'm doing something good for my country. I feel like very proud about it. But yeah, we are doing a little bit to work something better.
And you should be proud. It's a Colombian putting back. You know, it would be so easy to just leave and do something elsewhere. I mean, that's the truth. It is easier elsewhere. It may not be as, you know, it is easier elsewhere, I think. I think Colombia is an incredibly complex market to work in. The paperwork and the taxes are just taking me to the cleaners. But it is a complex place. But the more we work and the more we contribute and the more we are here, then of course we're doing good things. So you should be proud. I'm proud. I again, congratulate you for this. Just like to say, as we sit around this, almost like a round table here in my garden, Jose Miguel's interns, Sara and Natalia, are sitting very quietly and attentively, and so therefore we are the whole company, I reckon, is you know, the administrative section of the company is here. So it's been very nice to have you on the show and to meet some of your interns and so on and so forth. Thank you for coming here to chat about Urban Link.
Clerk and Rose changers.
They are Clerk and Rose changers. It's like when people say to you, you're not looking for a job, you're finding a job. You know, is that so? You are not a buscador, you are an encontrador. That's what someone said to me once. I was like, oh, okay. Do check out the websites, urbanlink.co, if you need space. I think that's very cool. You know, if you've got a one-off event or a small something that can, you know, for a week, a couple of weeks or what have you, even longer, you can check it out there. And of course, what we've been talking about mainly, Clark and Rose, really, really high quality products, slow fashion, and making a change here in Colombia. You know, it's about bringing about social inclusion, and with the goal to prove that it can be done here in Colombia and in Bogota. So let me take this moment to say thank you, Jose Miguel.
Thank you very much for having us here. I will be very happy to like showing you Urban Link and Clerk and Rose if you want to have more details about the companies. With Urban Link, some rent is better than no rent. And if you have any space that you want to lease, like, please contact me. We will work together. If you want to open in the States, if you want to open in the in the United Kingdom, it will be we will very open it to multiply our allies. And with Clark and Rose, let's work together to build a better society, not only here locally but globally. And it's interesting that politics keep thinking about like local like changes, but as the climate change, social inclusion is part of an entire world. It's not just about Colombia. It's not about the United States. Everybody have some different issues, backgrounds, and history, but we have to work together as a unique force.
It all comes together. It's like what my old teacher for international relations would say, it's glocal. Global, local. True. It's the truth. It's the truth in it all. So that's us bringing Columbia Calling episode 219 to an end. It's been a fantastic conversation. We'll be back next week with a further interview with someone interesting doing something fascinating here in Colombia or Colombia related. Of course, you can find all of these interviews on all of your streaming, desired streaming apps, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever. You know, you can find it. Everything's posted on our Facebook page, which is Columbia Calling, and indeed on my website, that's richardmccall.com. We're on Twitter at Columbia Calling, and you can get in touch with me at columbiacalling@gmail.com. So all the necessary social media evils have been covered. That is life today. It's the truth of it all. So that's me signing off with Jose Miguel Jaramillo of Clark and Rose and Urban Link here in Colombia. Thank you again for listening. Bye bye. See you next week.